This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com on a Thursday morning. Thursdays are great because you get the Burning Platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. It's our look at current affairs, all the things that are going on in the news. And this morning, we're very, very lucky to be joined by Davie Schultz. He is on Skype from London to talk to us this morning. The reason we want to talk to him is because he is News 24's elections analyst. That's not his full-time job, though. He's actually a high finance guy. He's a consultant at the Boston Consulting Group. He's established himself as one of the more considered analysts traversing the minefield of political analysis. He's attracted a huge Twitter following. I started following him about 3 or 4 years ago, I think, for his incisive dissection of political shifts and electoral tumult. He's also one of the few analysts around who keep a close eye on by-elections and on what they signal about changing voting patterns and perceptions. So I don't know if you saw this, but the latest polling numbers released by the Institute of Race Relations say that there's a bit of a bombshell on the way. The think tank's research showing the governing party could be in danger of losing an outright majority. Well, while that is in dispute, Davie recently took a look at the polling numbers and has his own take on those analyses, or rather, on the numbers that he's been looking at. And he joins us this morning via Skype from London to discuss it. So, Davie, good morning, and thanks for making some time for us.
Good morning, guys, and I believe happy birthday is in order. It's 5 years, right?
That's
one full election cycle. So great.
Yeah, thank you very much, Davie. Yeah, we turned 5 yesterday, and as you say, that's an election cycle in South Africa. So let's get into this, because next week, this time, we'll have results in from the elections, and obviously, you are the kind of person who will be paying attention to this in advance. You also are the kind of person who's not afraid of taking the time to make some predictions. So let's start with voter turnout, because I've seen a couple of polls that show some breakdowns around voter turnout, and particularly around young people turning out at the polls. If more people come, who does that favor? If less people come, who does that favor?
So the more people, less people conundrum, I don't think is actually the right way to think about this if you're trying to figure out about the turnout in our own neutral favor. The more important thing is really the who turns out. So, you know, if it's 75% and suburban turnout is significantly higher than township turnout, then it's going to favor the DA. If it's 70% and the balance between suburban areas and townships are one way or another, then it's going to favor the party that benefits from having more of its core voters turn out. So it's not so much about 75%, 65%, it's more about how the 70% is built. So, I mean, just to answer the first question, it seems that the expectation is something like 71-72%, so close to the previous election, but maybe a little bit less. But the more important question is, how is that 71-72% built up? And does one of the parties get what they call a differential turnout? So having its core supporters turn out disproportionately more than the other party supporters, which illustrates, you know, support. And I think that's one of the critical variables in this election that no one really knows about at this stage. The pollsters kind of seem to, in the numbers, have an implicit assumption that suburban turnout is going to be a little bit higher than township turnout, like it was in the previous election. But I think we have very little hard data at this stage to actually be able to say how that's going to shake out.
When you look around South Africa and you see how many posters there are and how much electioneering is going on and how people are having rallies and all kinds of other things, does it feel, to me it certainly it feels like a normal election, but is it a normal election? Are the stakes any higher? Are the politicians putting in any extra effort? Which parties are and which parties aren't? I mean, you look at the statistics, so you're not basing this on feelings like people like Pumi and I might. What do you read from the terrain as we approach the election?
So I think the one statistical piece of evidence that we have about this is the amount of people that registered on the registration weekends that happened in the last couple of months before the election. And that number is significantly down. So I think that's the one little red flag that you have to go that maybe actually there's not that much intense turnout out there or the intense interest as there was in previous elections. That's the one thing. The other thing that you also have is like this long-term historic trend of turnout reducing in elections over time in South Africa. So ever since 1994, turnout has actually been steadily coming down in all of the elections. That's why the expectation is that it will be a little bit lower this year as well. But then just, as you said, talking anecdotally and thinking about the country a little bit, it feels like a normal election campaign, right? We have big rallies, we have lots of posters, lots of people talking about it, lots of activity on social media. But I think there's one kind of quantitative fact which isn't really factored into that, and that is the number of people that are turned off by all the parties. And I think the number of people that are turned off by all the parties is actually at an historic high. So there's if you look at the polling, there's larger contingent of undecided voters later in the campaign, and more don't knows or don't want to give an answer to the question what they're going to vote for than usual. And it kind of implies to me that there's a group of South Africans who are unhappy with kind of all the parties and kind of aren't sure whether they're going to vote and aren't sure who they're going to vote yet. So that's why I think we've got quite a little bit more of a dynamic end game to this campaign than we usually have. So usually by now we have a very clear view of what the election outcome is going to be honest, with like a couple of percentage points, you know, up or down maybe here or there, and parties are just trying to turn out their base. But I actually think in this campaign there's something interesting happening in that there are more undecided at the end. The parties are not just focusing on turnout, they're actually trying to do persuasion for undecided voters as well at this stage, which is interesting and a bit different.
Davi, it's Pumi. I am very interested in your statistics, and I've been looking at the numbers that you've been putting out over the past couple of weeks. And the IRR took out their numbers a couple of days ago. And you don't agree on the ANC kind of numbers, but you do agree on the turnout for the DA. And it's slightly lower than what they think it is. Why is it so low? I mean, you're talking about if there's a higher turnout, they maybe go higher, but it's still significantly low. I mean, it's dropping to between 20 and 25 in your numbers and between 21 and 24 in the IRR's numbers.
So this is a quite complicated question, so I'm going to give a long answer. but the question about election expectations, I think, unfortunately, the answer right now is quite complex. And I think there's kind of one of two answers. And the other thing I think before we just get started is that I think the right election to compare results to is actually the 2014 national government election. So I think in your question, it's sort of implicit that, you know, if the DA gets between 20 and 25, they'll be down because they got 27% in the 2016 local government election, right? But I'm not quite sure that it's the right election to compare it to because turnout patterns are totally different in local government elections and the kind of issues at stake are a bit different in local government elections. So I would think that the right one to compare it to is the previous national government election, which was in 2014, when the DA won 22% of the vote, the ANC got 62%, and the EFF got 6.6% of the vote. And I think that's the kind of key marker in the ground to look at. But then turning to expectations for this election. So what I've done is I've analyzed, I've got what you would call a demographic model. So I've basically looked at all of the demographic groups in South Africa. I've taken a full electorate and broken it up into the different demographic groups and looked at the turnout and voting patterns within those different demographic groups over time and kind of tried to do a rational projection based on by-elections, previous election results and so on, on what each demographic group will do on the 8th of May. And it looks, if I look at that sort of historic data, it looks like the sort of election where the DA is going to get something like 23 or 24% of the vote, and the ANC is going to get something like 58 or 59 or 57% of the vote. So that's 55 to 60 kind of range. But maybe with a bias to a little bit higher than 50s. So that in my view, is the fundamental kind of underlying expectation for the election. Now, the only problem is that is based on historic data and by-elections, and the by-elections stopped about a month ago. So we haven't had any fresh data to input into this model for the last month. And ever since the last by-elections, when it's kind of the last point where I could form my view of the election, we've had some pretty radical polling data from a number of pollsters. So we've actually had some people putting it at the really high end for the ANC, right? Like Ipsos, who has it at something like 61 or 62% for the ANC. There were one or two other lesser-known pollsters also had it around there. But then we have the Institute of Race Relations now coming out to the ANC at 51%, right? And that's a really radically low number. And to be perfectly honest with you, you know, it's impossible for me to externally validate whether these polls are right or wrong at this stage because there's just no other live data to look at. So at this stage, we're a little bit flying blind. The only thing I'll say is, you know, my fundamental view of 55 to 60, I think, is a starting point for this election. And what I know from the demographic analysis is that it will take something very extraordinary and radical for you know, that not to happen. So for the ANC to get up to 61 or 62, they have to do exceptionally well and much, much better than the 2016 government election, voting pattern. And then for the ANC to get under 50, it would require a 55, it would require, you know, a really significant shift, particularly in the black electorate, you know, places like Soweto, LAX, Ipswich, these kind of core ANC support areas in places like Gauteng. You know, there's got to be a really big swing away from the ANC for that to materialize. And, you know, it could be happening on the campaign trail right now without us actually knowing it. We'll see on the 8th of May. But I still think that the kind of fundamental view of this election is something like 55 to 60 for the ANC, 20 to 25 for the DA. So a kind of election outcome that has the EFF doing quite a lot better, so something like 10 or 11, the ANC kind of losing some support. And the DA is stagnating or maybe growing like by a percentage point or two, basically. That is, I think, the most likely outcome, so given everything we've seen.
Now, Davi, what about the provinces? Because this is a national election, but it's also a provincial election. And there's quite a lot of, mm-hmm. of contestation going mm-hmm. on in places like Limpopo, places like Gauteng, and even, I suppose, you could call in like parts of KwaZulu-Natal too, which are fractious, to say the least.
Yeah.
What do you reckon is going to happen there, or is it going to be exactly the same as it was in the last election?
No, look, it's definitely not, right? Like, these swings are often national. So if we're talking about the ANC losing, like, 5 or 6% percentage points nationally, it's going to bleed into all of the provinces, right? And then there are going to be interesting consequences in different places, because it's not going to be a uniform, you know, -6 ANC everywhere. Somewhere the ANC will be down further, and somewhere they'll actually be up, and it'll be an interesting election because of that. But I think the most interesting provinces to look at is the first place to start, which is Gauteng. You know, in the 2016 election, they got under 50% in Gauteng. Like, you can't just look at it that way, but you can use that data point in an intelligent way. And if you do, it kind of suggests that the starting point of this election for the ANC is about 48-49% in Gauteng. So, you know, depending on how things are going on the campaign trail, I think it's going to be very close between the ANC and 50 in Gauteng this year. So every single vote will matter, and that, I think, is going to be a very, very interesting election to watch, is the Gauteng provincial election. The other one that I think surprisingly interesting, specifically because of the polling that's come out recently, is the Western Cape. So in my model, I kind of felt quite confident that the DA would get something like 53 or 54%, so, you know, a smaller majority, but maintain the Western Cape in the election. But voting seems to put it at, like, you know, 50% with IRR, and some of the other guys have it even lower than that. So it looks like the Western Cape could actually also be potentially a race for the DA, but let's wait and see. And then I think there are kind of two sleeper provinces that that haven't really popped up on everyone's radar just yet, but I think it will be interesting on election night. And the one is Northern Cape. The polling coming out of the Northern Cape is very just unreliable, because it's such a rural province. There are a lot of people living in little hamlets where, you know, the signal is really bad and contributing to the polling and so on. And it's so difficult to poll, but from the little bit of polling that's come from there, it just looks like the Northern Cape could be competitive, or at least the ANC could suffer significant losses in the Northern Cape. And then I think the other one, which is extremely interesting, is KZN. And because, you know, KZN is huge, but has a lot of, you know, complex and divergent trends taking place there. The kind of, particularly in the black electors in Gauteng, sorry, in KZN, there are kind of three sub-pools. There's the one, which is the kind of northern KZN, old city land, where the NSP and the IFP does pretty well, and from by-elections, it seems that they are going to do okay in this election, and maybe take a little bit from the ANC. Then you have kind of urban KZN, which is Ekurhuleni, so Durban, and Peter Maritzburg, and so on, with very large population centers, very large townships, where the EFF seems to be making very significant inroads in those areas. And then kind of southern KZN, which is traditionally a very strong ANC area, like lots of turnout, lots of really strong support, particularly for Jacob Zuma. And still on the border with approval, I think it's just really low in that part of the country. So it'll be interesting to see what impact that has. And I think the net effect of all of those things is that the ANC is probably going to come in a little bit softer in KZN, The question is just exactly how much softer, and unfortunately, the answer is I don't really know. But I think it's going to be one to watch an election night. And then you did also mention Limpopo, which I actually think will be interesting in its own way, because Julius Malema is obviously from Limpopo, very, very popular in Limpopo, and did very well there in 2016. But now Cyril Ramaphosa is leading up the ANC, and it's also from Limpopo. And I think it will be an interesting tussle to see if the EFF can maintain or grow its support in Limpopo, given that Cyril Ramaphosa is from there and very, very popular from there. And I think that will also be quite important for the national number, because it's a very large pool of votes, and a couple of percentage points swing here or there could actually change the national result a little bit.
Davi, you know, we're talking a lot about kind of very low turnouts, and to do anything, especially in the provincial space, it looks like everybody's going to have to go into some kind of coalition, or at least the politicking to get things pushed and happening is going to have to be coalitions. Now, the DA has gone with a very interesting stance in terms of all of their campaigning. When I see in these main roads here in Joburg, they've stopped giving any kind of a care. You know, they've just got posters up that just say stop ANC and EFF. And I'm wondering how that will impact them in places like where, especially in the metros, they've had coalitions with the EFF. And they're going to need coalitions. They're obviously going to need coalitions, but this is their campaign slogan. How will that impact how their voters respond to their campaigning at the moment?
Yeah, I think that the one point to make is that before elections and after elections are two very, very different things of coalition discussions, and I think the parties are all kind of slightly cynical enough, but also mature enough to understand that campaigning takes place in a particular way, and coalition negotiations take place in a particular way. And so I don't, to be honest, buy any coalition talk before an election that says, you know, we won't work with this party or we will work with this party or whatever. I think the parties say what they need to say before the election. But I do think it merits just discussing that poster, because it's a very interesting poster. And it's that the one that says, the DA poster that says stop ANC and EFF. And I think to me, it implies something about what's happening with the DA's election campaign. It feels to me like the DA, if I look at by-election results and just a little bit of what they've been doing in the last couple of weeks, are working really, really hard to try to win white voters, which is surprising, right? Because in past elections, they've really just had white voters sewn up, like a really high percentage of white voters just automatically almost vote DA. But they're doing things like putting up that poster and, you know, running out someone like Tony Leon to be front and center in places like Gauteng quite late in the campaign. Just suggests to me that they're a little bit below their targets, probably on their internal polling on white voters, and they're, I guess, trying to regain some of their traditional base, because in recent by-elections, we've seen quite a lot of conservative white voters, Afrikaans voters, going over from the DA to the Team Front Plus, and so I think, you know, if they're losing, like, in some of these by-elections, as many as 20%, right, and that would have a significant impact on their national number, and I think part of their campaign, certainly not the full focus of their campaign, but there's a kind of part of their campaign of just trying to win back those voters. And I think that's what that larger sense of that poster was about, if you ask me.
Davi, you talk about the white vote, for whatever it's worth. What do you think the effect of smaller parties might be? We hear often about COPE and Bantu Holomisa's UDM, and we hear about new entries into the market for that vote. Do you think that there are any new parties that could inspire a movement to the polls that we haven't seen before in terms of a significant showing?
In the white elections, I personally don't buy the idea that the COPE or the UDM is going to stick very well. I think there's probably some chance for the ANC to do a little bit better, but only marginally. I think the real threat for the DA and the white elections is Freedom Front Plus and more conservative voters. I also don't by the kind of purple cow argument, or there's very little evidence of that in other polling. They haven't contested any by-elections, so it would have to be quite a big surprise for them to do particularly well, or any of the other kind of smaller parties that are trying to get into that particular portion of the electorate. The one new party that I do think is going to be quite impactful is actually going to be the ATM, the African Transformation Movement. Jimmy Mani is the Mani's party, but the party in which Jimmy Mani is very heavily involved. I think if you look at some of the by-elections that they've competed in, are actually doing quite well on the ground. If you look at the events they're hosting, quite a lot of people there. That's my dark horse pick for a surprise of the election. You know, I don't think it matters, but if they win a couple of percentage points all out of the ANC, I think that could have a distorting impact on the election. That's a bit of a surprise. I think the other one which is to watch is just good, right? Because the Liberal Party, I don't think there's any chance of sort of significant national numbers for them, but the impact they could have is in the Western Cape, right? And particularly in the kind of electorate in the Western Cape, and how much exactly they take there is probably a crucial variable on whether the DA manages to hold on to 50 in the Western Cape or not. I think they have very little data to say exactly what the impact will be. My sense is not huge, but maybe if it's a close election, you know, enough to be impactful.
So there are these three polls that we can rely on at the moment, and they all have very different numbers. Ipsos, you mentioned, and the IRR, and also Mark Data. Now, I'm curious about what happens. You know, the ANC usually have a push towards the end, like the day before. I think Saturday they're having their big Siyangqoba rally, and those usually add a few numbers to the support base. There are predictions of a total collapse in the black vote for the ANC, but I think those are probably unfounded. What do you reckon? Any other events or significant occurrences might be in the next couple of days that could swing a few percentage points to one or two of the parties? Are there any massive impacts that could occur that could change things significantly in the last week before elections?
Look, I think there are probably two topics that can affect elections in the last week. Let's call it three. So the one is just the contextual issue. If there are more corruption things that come up, right? So if it's the whole conversation for the next 5 days is just about corruption and state capture and, you know, whatever ACE did were, or, you know, various basically bad things for the ANC, then I think that probably numbs a little bit of this final, what they call the squeeze, right? And lock-up proposed the ANC usually arrives, picks up a couple of points of support, and that could dull it a little bit. We'll have to see exactly how much, but so that's one potential thing. I think the other thing is just, you know, if the ANC, a critical variable for me is whether the ANC is going to go on the attack in the next 5 days, or if they're just going to continue with the current sort of new dawn messaging, which is all very positive and nice, and which basically says, you know, we frankly screwed up, but we're trying to fix it now. Please give us another chance. But, you know, it's the Siyangqoba rally is all about that. I think it has a different impact than the Siyangqoba rally that's all about, you know, attacking the DA, attacking the EFF, and being really, really hard. And my current read of the situation is that actually the ANC would be better served by going negative. But my sense is they're actually going to stay positive. So I think that's the one thing that may affect things a little bit. And then I think the other big variable is just whether everyone manages to pull off their rallies very well, right? So the DA has a big rally on Saturday, and then actually the ANC one is on Sunday there. Both the ANC and the DA both have big rallies on Sunday. And by the way, that's also the one new development in our politics which changes this little final push towards the elections a little bit, in that both the EFF and the ANC have the rallies at the same time on Sunday, so it kind of closes the space a little bit for the ANC to get full attention to its rally. And I think this year as well, the ANC rally isn't going to be at F&B Stadium, it's going to be at Ellis Park. So just from, and I think the EFF rally will be at Orlando Stadium.
Yeah.
So just from a visuals perspective, we're going to have two rallies equal in size, you know? It's not going to be the normal situation where the ANC has a 100,000 person rally, which is just totally dominant on Sunday. So I still prescribe, I think you're right, to the theory that the ANC will pick up a couple of percentage points in the next 2 days. But I also just get the sense that it's not going to be as significant in the past. And I will say one more thing about that as well, is that, you know, if you look at the, for example, the black voting pattern in Gauteng, in 2011, the ANC won 87% of black voters in Gauteng. In 2014, they were down to 78%. In 2016, they were down to 69, right? So they went from 87 in 2011 to 69 in 2016. In a five-year period, they lost 18% of the black vote in housing. Now, I think what that also means on the ground is that there are just more people who disagree with the ANC, right? So when, and I think what you see internationally in elections is this coalescing effect, the squeeze, where people sort of turn to the largest party, happens in populations where a particular party is very dominant. But as the party's dominance wanes, its ability to squeeze out support in those last couple of days is diminished. Now, the ANC is still dominant, so I think they will get it, but this was a very long way to just say, I think, to a lesser extent than usual. And we're going to see very clearly on the 9th of May exactly where they end up. But.
Davi, the ANC also had, in the past couple of weeks, some international kind of support with two big stories coming out last week in the New York Times, I think, and in The Economist. All saying, Cyril Ramaphosa is the way to go.
Yeah, then let's be clear. The Economist said that it was a rotten party, but that the leader of the party was a good guy.
And so, there's an opportunity for him to pull this thing through, but that South Africa as a whole would do well to back this man. Do you think that has had any kind of movement on the dial for the ANC?
No, but the one thing I will say is I think it's a marginal counter-endorsement, to be honest, in South Africa. You know, the EFF is out in rural South Africa talking about radical economic transformation, talking about land, talking about our land and jobs now. In that context, to have, you know, quite neoliberal publications endorsing you and talking about how great you're going to be with your free market reforms in South Africa and how you're going to strengthen property rights and all these other things, I'm not sure it's electorally helpful, to be entirely honest. So I think it's probably electorally helpful a little bit, like in the white electorate and so on. So, you know, the ANC is steady targeting to get a little bit more of the white vote and so on. But, you know, that's just at the margin. You know, the difference between 4 and 8% in the white vote is like 0.2 or 0.3% of the overall electorate. The bigger question is, you know, people out there in like Limpopo who feel economically marginalized who have always been voting ANC because they believe the ANC is the best vehicle for their environment, for transforming the economy, who are now kind of maybe thinking about going EFF or maybe even BA, and they see this. I'm not sure it actually helps the ANC in that portion of the electorate, to be honest. So the answer is no, I don't think it's affected the election very much. And in fact, I think it is more of a risk for the ANC than a benefit.
All right, just finally, to wrap this up, because you're the election nerd. I'm going to be watching and listening to your coverage more than anyone else's. And as that stuff starts to trickle in, how will the ANC, EFF, and DA measure success? If you said already that the ANC would be very, very fortunate to get 61% or more, would 61 be a good result for them?
Yeah.
If so, what would be a good result for the EFF, and what would the DA consider success?
That's a great question. So, look, I think the ANC, you know, if they hit 60%, that is a huge success, right? Remember, they did get 54% in the local government election. If you rerun those numbers with national government assumptions built into it, then it's 56 or 57. So, so that's their starting point. If they get to 60, I think it'd be huge. So that, to me, is the number. And the other thing is also just, does the ANC hold Gauteng, right? And all the other provinces. So I think those are the two things. If the ANC holds Gauteng, gets 60% plus, I would say massive success for them. You know, not achieving those two things, depending to the extent which it's the case, will be bad. So if, you know, if they're 49, 48 in Gauteng, they can probably get a coalition together with one of the smaller parties. But if they end up with like 45% in Gauteng and, you know, 55, 56 or something, even closer to what the IOR is saying, that's disastrous, right? And I think that could actually have internal consequences for the ANC. So that's the one party. Then I think the DA, you know, so 22% is the red line for me. If they go between or below 22%, then it's a bad election. And I think then there's going to be an internal leadership discussion in the DA, quite likely. But, you know, if they get what I think is likely, which is 23 or 24, or, you know, outside chance 25, then it it's not a brilliant election, but maybe it's an okay election to keep going, particularly given the tough context I had in 2018 with the digital law and all that other issues. So maybe if they get something like 22, 23, 24, 25, they get to keep going and fight on for the local government election in 2021, which will be more favorable to them in any case. And I guess exactly the same point about Gauteng as well. If the ANC comes in below 50, that'll be very helpful for the DA, I think. And then from the ESS perspective, look, they got 6.6 last time. The feeling is obviously more, right? But we just don't know exactly how much more. By-election starting suggests 9 to 12. I think if they get like 10, that's a pretty good election. But if we get to the 12, 13, 14 level, that's blowing the lights out. I think then the ESS is doing exceptionally well. And also then they're going to be in the kingmaker position in at least Gauteng and potentially even more provinces, which will be very exciting for them. So that's what I'm kind of my markers. But I think the one thing that I'd also say when we're watching the results of the election night is just watch very closely how are those voting stations performing where, you know, traditional strong ANC areas where they've just been very dominant for the last 25 years. So like Soweto, right? And as I've just sketched, they went from 87 to 69% from 2011 to 2016. This is now the next election. Are they going to be more than 69 or are they going to be less than 69? And more than 69 would suggest that Cyril Ramaphosa has actually managed to rejuvenate the party to some extent and reverse some of the losses. If they come in under 69, to me, it will signal that the losses are structural and that we are in a structural kind of trend against the ANC in South Africa. Because, even with someone who is as popular as Cyril Ramaphosa, to have further losses beyond the 2016 level, to me, would be a dangerous sign for the ANC. Not in this election, necessarily, but for the longer-term trend of where the ANC is going, I think that would be a risk factor.
Wow. All right. Well, Davi, listen, you've given us plenty of food for thought. There's lots to get stuck into here, and I'm sure that your week next week is going to be incredibly busy. So thanks for making some time for us today. If you want to know more, you can obviously follow Davi on Twitter. That's the best way to go because he is constantly putting up really, really interesting and reliable information there, which I think a lot of us would like to have. You never really know who to believe. You never know what polls to take seriously. Polls didn't manage to predict Brexit. They didn't manage to predict Trump. So who knows? We might be in for some surprises next week too.
ATM, Baba. Me and Davi.
Yeah, Pumi and Davi are quite they're quite encouraged by their predictions with respect to the ATM. And listen, you both have called one or two by elections, so well done. But thank you, Davi. Pleasure to speak to you, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks, guys. Very much, sir.
Thank you. Thanks so much. There's Davi Skoltz. You can follow him, and he's going to be working for News24 as their elections analyst too.
This is CliffCentral.com.